Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazegna, the host of Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I want to talk about believe and receive the gospel. This comes from Romans chapter 1. And Paul the Apostle wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, the Jew first and also the Greek." One time I was presiding at Mass and just about to enter into the church, lots, hundreds of people in the church, and I'm in the back there, and we had this little procession, we're ready to go. And the lector, the reader, as we started to go into the Mass, he holds up the gospel book as it starts processing in, and all of a sudden I've had this weird feeling go through my body. It was very strange, because as he held up his arms, I could see that he had a prosthetic arm. And here he is in front of hundreds of people processing into the church, not ashamed to show his arm. Then he proclaimed the word of God. Then after Mass, I saw him in the back of church and I asked him about his arm. It was so obvious. And he told me that he was in the military and during the war, he got into an incident where he lost his arm. And I thanked him for his service to our country, but I also thanked him for not being ashamed of the gospel, not being ashamed of the word of God. That's exactly what Paul the Apostle said. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel." And he demonstrated it by his life. If you know anything about Paul the Apostle, I've been to Rome. I've been to the church of St. Paul outside the walls. And it's this church dedicated to Paul the Apostle. And right underneath, we believe, is where Paul the Apostle was martyred. Paul the Apostle was beheaded for the sake of the gospel. He was a martyr for Christ. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And if you read the Acts of the Apostles or any of the letters of Paul, you will see that he traveled and he suffered and he went through many trials and tribulations, and nothing could stop him from preaching the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel of God. Billy Graham said that the gospel has inbuilt power to save us. There's something about the gospel that is so attractive. I remember Jesus in his parables, and he spoke many parables. He told about this one parable. He said, it's like a man who has a field, and he digs in the field, and he finds a treasure, and he goes, sells everything else, and he buys the field. Or it's like a woman who is in search of fine pearls, and then she finds this one pearl of great value, and she goes and sells all the other pearls and she buys that one pearl. What is this great pearl, the pearl of great value? It's the good news. It's the gospel. The gospel is something worth inestimable value because, as we believe, the good news is that Jesus came to die for us, rose for us, so that you and I could have everlasting life. Eternal life, life that lasts forever. That is extremely good news. It's the treasure, the pearl that everybody's searching for. It's the gospel. And the core gospel message is Jesus came to bring us eternal life. Jesus said, when I am lifted up, he was talking about being lifted up on the cross. When I am lifted up, he said, I'll draw people to myself. Millions and millions of people over the last 2,000 years have come to Christ. They've felt that magnetic, attractive power of the gospel. You may not know everything that's in the scriptures and in the word of God and in the gospels, but the core message as it comes to us is attractive. And that core message has to do with the cross. There's an amazing, magnetic, attractive power. I was talking to a man one time. He wasn't Catholic. I think he was Methodist. And we were in the car driving, and as I was talking to him, I said, "You're really involved in your church." I said, "Did God touch you in some way?" And he told me the story. He said, "The truth is, Father Cedric, years ago I had fallen away from the church, and I just didn't know what truth was. And then as I really heard the gospel and listened to the gospel, I was convinced that this is truth. I could see it. It was clear." We in Catholic terminology call it the splendor of truth. There's a splendor to it. And he said, "A lot of people talk about truth as being relativistic. You have your truth, I have my truth." And he came to say that, "I believe that truth isn't relative. It's not somebody's truth and another person's truth. There's an absolute truth. There's one truth. There's the truth." And that's what Jesus said. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." He came before Pilate. Pilate said, "What is truth?" And a lot of people are searching for truth. Truth is solid. Truth has splendor. Truth is attractive. Just to let you know, that man actually came to a rebirth. He came back to Christ because he was attracted by the truth. And that happened to me too. Here I am, a young man dating a woman in college, 18 years old. We went to a play, and it was in the old Charles Theater in Boston. We weren't very religious. I was born and brought up Catholic, but my girlfriend and I weren't very religious, and we went to a play called Godspell. And I thought to myself, "Well, we're not very religious, but let's give it a try. I'll go. We'll check this out." And we sat there in the old Charles Theater there in Boston, and this was back in 1975, and there's probably a couple hundred people, pretty well full. And the gospel, God's spell, put a spell on me. I wasn't religious. And I'm sitting there with my girlfriend watching this, and something came over me. God's spell is all about the gospel of Matthew, acted out in humorous form, the parables, the teaching of Jesus, dramatically acted out. And as I saw this being acted out in front of me, the only way to put it is a boxing glove was punching me in the nose saying, "Cedric, this is truth. You don't have it. You need this, and you don't have it." And I could feel this pull, this attraction. And that's what I'm hoping this program will be for you. I know most of you are believers, but some of you aren't. Truth has a radiance, a splendor, and I'm praying that God will put a spell on you, the gospel, and that you will be attracted to eternal life, because eternal life is the greatest opportunity ever offered to us. And the rest is history in my life. It took some time, broke up with that girl eventually, and then I finally looked into it, started praying, came to the scriptures, read more about the gospel, read more about the life of Jesus, and wow, truth sets a person free. That's what Jesus said, the truth will set you free. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I remember at some of the Billy Graham crusades, they would put those words of Jesus right over the big stage, thousands of people gathered. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word in the Greek is evangelion. Gospel, there's supernatural power, evangelion, it's called. Simply means glad tidings or good news. That's the way we translate the Greek word evangelion. And really, we all love good news, like getting a promotion at work or a good report from the doctor or getting your stimulus check or your children get the job that they were hoping for. But this good news is something that doesn't go away. It doesn't fade. It's a treasure. Remember what I said? It has to do with forever. God has really put that in my heart and impressed upon me lately in my prayer life, just how powerful and long and deep and lasting forever is. Thank you. hear those words, eternity and everlasting, and oh yeah, we know about that. Think about that in your prayer life. Forever and ever is a long time, and that's what the gospel is all about. The word evangelion was used in the classical Greek long before Jesus came. For example, as I studied it, the Greeks were invaded by Persia in the year 490 BC, and the Greeks defeated them in battle. What they did is they sent out marathon runners to go tell everybody the good news, victory in battle. Well, in a way, the first evangelists were marathon runners. In a way, I'm a marathon runner. I'm an evangelist, a proclaimer of good news. And I'm proclaiming to you the victory that we have in the battles of our life through Jesus Christ, that we are more than conquerors. That's what Paul said. Paul, who was beheaded, who gave his life for Christ, who suffered greatly for Christ, he wrote this in Romans 8. He said, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Not even death can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Archaeologists found an inscription from 6 BC. It was declared that Caesar Augustus was the divine savior in the beginning of the good news for all people on earth. Then switch really quickly to the angels who heralded that Christ the Lord was born. We have good news for all humanity. What I'm trying to say is that Christianity took the term evangelion that was used for emperors, for victory in battle, for political situations, and they changed the meaning of good news to Christ the Lord who was born, Savior for all people. When I talk about the gospel, I'm talking about the core message. But of course, as you know, there are four gospels. There is Mark, the first one written, we believe, although Matthew comes first in the Bible. Mark, scholars tell us, was the original gospel. And Mark presents a Jesus that is very human and that is the Son of God. These things are written that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Comes right from the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Mark. Beginning of Jesus, the Son of God, the gospel. And then comes Matthew. Matthew, a very Jewish gospel written for a Jewish Christian congregation, where Jesus is presented as the new Moses. The gospels are all portraits, the four different gospels. We have Mark and we have Matthew. Then we have Luke. Luke written to more of a Gentile crowd, a Gentile congregation, where Jesus is this great prophet who brings healing and prophetic words. And then John, the maverick gospel, we call it, because it's different than the synoptics. The synoptics, those three gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, the word synoptic means to see together. Those three gospels are very close together in their writing. But John is a maverick gospel because it's very different, uses different terminology, different words, different traditions. And we hear about the Word made flesh. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is very divine. And all the Gospels were written for a specific reason, to evoke, to instigate faith, belief in its readers, in its hearers. And I love the end of the Gospel of John. John says, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by your faith, by believing, have life in his name. That's exactly why the Gospels were written and proclaimed and have changed millions of lives down throughout the years, because as we believe, we receive. Belief, and I told this in one of my other episodes, this whole series is about being your best. And I want you to be your best. Belief opens the door for God's power. Belief, faith in Jesus opens the door for God to work in you. Belief brings blessings untold. And I'm praying that as you hear the gospel, and faith comes by hearing, as you hear the gospels, the gospel message, that you will come to believe in a beautiful way and receive the life that Jesus came to bring. I am very aware of the core message of the gospel. This comes right from St. Paul. He talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, I want to remind you of the gospel that I have proclaimed to you. Number one, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. This is called in the Greek the kerygma. What is the kerygma of the early church? The word means the message of the early church. Real simple, don't complicate the gospels, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, the Old Testament prophets, that he was raised on the dead in accordance with the scriptures. This is called the Paschal Mystery in Catholic theology. And we participate when we celebrate Mass, we participate in his death and in his resurrection. It's a resurrection sacrament. And I wrote a book called Coming Counter Jesus. We believe that in every sacrament, that word originally comes from the word mysterion in the Greek, the mystery of God interacting with us through bread and wine and oil and water and all the different symbols of a sacrament. We believe that in these sacraments, Jesus himself touches us. There's an encounter with Christ. I spoke of Billy Graham earlier, and I wanted to share with you that when I was searching for something spiritual in my life about the time that I was watching that play, Godspell, and searching for spirituality in my life, I couldn't help but watch Billy Graham on television. He's a great evangelist, as you know, and always proclaimed Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And he did it with what really struck me was his urgency. He had dignity and really simplicity. He would illustrate with stories, but he never departed from the message. He kept close to the core message of the gospel. And what is the core message of the gospel? I noticed that even though stadiums were full of people, we're talking 10, 15, 20, 25,000 people out there before him. Sometimes in some of these evangelistic crusades, there'd be 100,000 people out in front of him, and he would talk about the cross of Christ. And he would talk about how Jesus came to die for us, to forgive our sins, to bring us salvation. And I was always struck with the simplicity of his message. But as I've studied the scriptures, it's the core message. He didn't deviate. He proclaimed the truth that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And I'm glad that he didn't acquiesce to trying to tickle ears or to tell people what they wanted to hear. He was very challenging, very straightforward, and yet to me, it was very attractive. As you can see by what I'm wearing, this is our religious habit. I have subsequently, after coming to Christ, giving my life to him and believing in him and receiving salvation, I have joined a religious community called the Passionists. We've been in existence now for 300 years, and we're in 64 countries. I live at our retreat center in Houston, Texas. This habit has to do with being simple. I have professed vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. It's a complete dedication to Christ. I live in community, religious community. I don't own anything. Everything belongs to the community, like the Acts of the Apostles, the early apostles. And you'll see on my heart, there's a heart. And in the words are the words of Greek, the passion of Jesus Christ. Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. Those were the languages of the cross itself. Remember, above Jesus' head was hung his identification, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And that was in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Well, this means the passion of Jesus Christ. I have found a community in the Catholic Church dedicated to the core message of the gospel. And that community is the passion of Jesus Christ, the Passionists, as I said, in existence for 300 years. And what we do is we proclaim the passion. That word means suffering. We proclaim the cross, the core of the gospel. We proclaim Jesus to all people. We preach parish missions, We preach on television. We write books. We have retreats. We have a few parishes around the country. And as I said, we're in 64 countries. We reach out to the poor. We reach out to people in prison. That is our apostolate. That's our ministry. Our founder and all religious communities in the Catholic Church are founded by different saints. Our founder was St. Paul of the Cross. St. Paul of the Cross was a great preacher in Italy in the 1700s. And he loved to preach about the cross. And he would point to the cross and say, people are looking for a miracle. The cross is the miracle of miracles. And he said, everything is to be found in the cross, salvation and forgiveness and mercy. And he said that it's the most overwhelming work of God's love, the passion of Jesus. The passion is extremely important. But then Paul the Apostle knew that the cross was the core. When he came to the Corinthians, he wrote this in 1 Corinthians. He said, when I came among you, I wanted to know nothing but Jesus and him crucified. And he talks about the cross. Now, I've heard from some people, and they'll say, "What, Father, why do you talk about the cross and the crucifix? Or why do Catholics have crucifixes in church? Jesus isn't dead, he's alive." That's right, he is alive. And Paul the Apostle said, if the resurrection hasn't happened, we're all fools. We're the greatest of fools. But it's at the cross, and this is why we show the crucifixion, because at Mass, we celebrate that Jesus has died for us. It's at the cross that our sins are forgiven. It's at the cross that we receive salvation. It's at the cross that we believe that we are healed. And then the resurrection ratifies everything that Jesus did on the cross. We don't separate the two. It's the cross, the crucifix, and the resurrection. And yes, I'm proud that we have crucifixes in our Catholic Church, because as Paul the Apostle said, I wanted to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. That is the core message of the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the gospels were written so that we could come to faith. When you read the scriptures, when you read the gospels, certainly we read about the cross and the resurrection, but these are amazing miracles that Jesus did. Calming storms. The apostle said, who is this that can, even the wind and the waves obey him? Turned water into wine. We know about these miracles. Multiplied loaves and fishes. The blind could see, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk. Even dead people were raised up. What are the Gospels doing here? They're trying to evoke faith. Why all these miracles by the apostles and by Jesus? Trying to evoke faith. Some people today have that gift of healing. Why? Not so that people will look at them, to evoke faith in us so that we will believe. That's the gospel message. And then the teachings of Jesus, so powerful, his parables, the Sermon on the Mount, the Proverbs, the practical teachings of Jesus about living and fruitfulness and eternal life. No one has ever spoken like Jesus. One time, Jesus was teaching in the temple, and they went to arrest him, the temple guards, because they were sent by the religious leaders, and they came back empty-handed. And the religious leaders said, well, where is he? Why didn't you arrest him? And they said, we went to arrest him, but no one has ever spoken like this man. Wow. The proof is in the pudding. Jesus has changed me, changed that man I was talking to, who understood that this is the truth, and he's changed millions and billions of lives. And I'm praying that as you hear the gospel now, faith will be evoked in you. I was talking to a woman who had been on one of my missions years ago. It was in Arlington, Texas, probably 25 years ago. And all she remembered about everything that I had said during that mission, those 4 nights that I preached, she remembered the words, believe and receive. And she said, my husband and I were Catholic, but we weren't really invested in our faith. But because of your mission, Father Cedric, we decided to get more involved, and they did get involved, teaching CCD, becoming pillars of the parish, becoming very Catholic, raising their family, very Christian. And she said, I'll never forget those words, believe and receive. The gospel, the glad tidings, the good news, the power of God unto salvation. And I am praying that whatever state you're in right now, as you hear the gospel and faith comes by hearing, you will believe and receive. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.